Okay, you can close the door. Chef? You can close the door.
Rabbi Plotnick is no stranger to any of us, maybe to one of us. But Rabbi Plotnick, for the one who doesn't know, is a frequent Musarvat guest, and we really appreciate the frequency because something sweet you don't really get bored of. So without further ado, I will leave all my time to Rabbi Plotnick.
Thank you very much. Can you see me?
You know what? If you could just shift yourself a giraffe to your right, that would be helpful. Or, yes, perfect.
Better?
A little bit perfect. Perfect.
Got it?
Yes, excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Good evening, my Rabbi Isai. I'd like to make a confession that I am a big chassid of Pepsi Cola. When I went to learn in Eretz Yisrael in 1982, I couldn't drink Pepsi Cola because it was unavailable because of the Arab boycott of Israel. So it was either Coke, which a lot of people in Eretz Yisrael didn't drink, especially in Bnei Brak where I was, or it was something called Crystal, or some other explosive drink called Tempo. Those of you that are old enough to remember might recall what that is. I needed something to drink, and I made the best of a bad situation. A few years later, a cousin of mine who was learning in Eretz Yisrael told me that Pepsi got a hashgacha, and now people could drink Pepsi Cola. A Yerushalmi Yid came over to my cousin after he had his first swig of Pepsi, and he said to him in Yiddish, "Es a ganz geschmack de papusi." He said, "This papusi is very geschmack." Now, when you look at a can of Pepsi in Medinas Yisrael, and there's no nekudas on the can, so you see pei, pei, samach yud. So how's an Israeli supposed to know what that is? Is it papusi? Is it fofsi? Is it Pepsi? How's he supposed to know? So this Yerushalmi assumed it's called papusi. Now, it's a funny story in and of itself, but there's a great learning mussar from this story. And that is sometimes you think that you're looking at something and you know exactly what you're looking at, but you don't have all the nakudas in place and you really have no idea what you're looking at all. So you think you're drinking a can of papusi, you're really drinking a can of Pepsi. Now, in the world of drinking cola, it makes very little difference. When you go to Home Depot and you buy a bookcase and the instructions are in some kind of sort of English or half Spanish, you don't know what you're reading either. And worst comes to worst, you'll put a shelf in upside down. It's not the end of the world. But on a more serious note, there are other signs and letters that we come across that really make a big difference because we think we know what we're looking at based on limited intelligence. We make conclusions, not even realizing that we're looking at something completely wrong. And in light of this, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Megillas Esther and about the world we're living in today. We all know the song, Shoshanas Yaakov, Zahalav Isamecha, Abir Isam Yachat, Chelas Mordechai. Shoshanas Yaakov, the rose of Yaakov, was very, very happy, very freilich when they saw Chelas Mordechai. Simple meaning is they saw the beautiful kingly clothing that were made out of Chelas. That was a very royal color that they put in clothing in those days. Some say Tchelos Mordechai means that Mordechai went out with tzitzis in public. And that's when everybody was happy when they saw that Yidden could walk around with tzitzis in public. Obviously, Haman would have never approved of such a thing. But let's examine and understand what this Shoshanas Yaakov song, which is a very old song. Most of the stanzas of Shoshanas Yaakov are mentioned in the Talmud Yerushalmi and Megillah and Paragimel. Came out the whole thing, the second part of it at least. What is it, Beroisam Yachad Tcheles Mordechai? What's the significance of seeing the Tcheles of Mordechai, that blue dye, that beautiful royal dye in the clothing of Mordechai? And I was thinking perhaps the Pshat is like this. We know that the Big Day Kahuna that we read about in this week's Parsha, and we read about already in Parsha's Tetzaveh as well, featured eight begadim, And Chazal HaGdoshim tell us in the Gemara in Zvachim that each of the begadim, each of the priestly vestments was a kapara on assorted averis. The Zohar HaKadosh says when you would look at a particular beged, it would somehow inspire you to do tshuva and to make you a better person corresponding to various averis. One of those was the me'il. The me'il was a kapara for Lashon Hara. Somehow a person looked at the me'il and it inspired him, and it would bring as a kapara, as an atonement for Lashon Hara. What is the connection between me'il and Lashon Hara? Rav Shneur Kavlis at South Lake Rosh Hashiva said a beautiful pshat. In fact, Rav Shneur's levaya that I happened to have been present at that my year in Eretz Yisrael, his son-in-law, Rav David Shustel, one of the Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood today, said this vart over from his father-in-law. And he said this was one of his favorite divrei Torah that he ever said. And Rav Shneur said like this. The Gemara tells us about the magic of Tcheles. That when a person saw Tcheles, Tcheles doimel yam, yam doimel rikia, or rikia doimel kisi akavid. The color of Tcheles reminds us of the color of the sea. The color of the sea is like the color of the sky. And the color of the sky somehow was reflective of Kisei HaKavod, of Hashem's royal throne, as it were. That means that when a person sees Tcheles, somehow they're reminded of Kisei HaKavod, of Hashem's royal throne. And Rav Shneur explained, what does that mean, Kisei HaKavod, Hashem's royal throne? So he explained, just like we understand the concept of a bird's eye view, when you're up above, you see everything. You can see the whole world from sea to shining sea. From Hashem's vantage point, he sees not only the physical world in one great breadth of vision, but Hashem also sees world history and world events. He doesn't just see one little thing, but he sees how one event leads to another, how one action connects to another. And when a person sees Tcheles, they get the inspiration and they can connect to that vision of Kisei HaKavod, of seeing everything in its completion, as Rav Shneur would say in Yiddish, in its ganze Ganzkeit, in its total completion. So Rav Shneur said like this, a Baal Lashon Hara, someone that says Lashon Hara is compared to a fly. The Klei Yikar brings a Chazal like that, and the Chazal tell us that just like a fly focuses on the Mokam HaTinoifes, a fly focuses on the dirty stuff. A Baal Lashon Hara, someone that says Lashon Hara, only focuses on the schmutz, on the dirt in another person. Shneur said, if we would look at the whole individual and how much good they really possess, we wouldn't say Lashon Hara on them. But we're like a fly, that we focus on the tinoifus, we focus on the filth. So that, Shneur said, this is why the tcheles of the me'il inspired a person for the chait of Lashon Hara. Because if a person would be inspired by seeing the color tcheles, tcheles reminds him of the color of the sky. The sky reminds him eventually of Kisei HaKavod. From Kisei HaKavod, from Hashem's royal throne, you see everything. You don't just see one little piece, you see everything. And if a Baal Lashon Hara would allow himself to see the whole person, he wouldn't say Lashon Hara either. So when a person saw the tcheles of the me'il, they would see a person in their shleimus. They would realize they have to see the complete person, and that would inspire a person to avoid saying Lashon Hara. This was the maila, the virtue of tcheles. So let's return to Shoshanas Yaakov. If we talk about the Purim miracle, so we all know the story of Purim extended over 9 years. When you read the Megillah, you don't really see that. It looks like a great story. One chapter leads into the next, but the truth is, as the story unfolded, it took a long time. And each piece of the Megillah in and of itself was nothing. It was a very mundane, a very plain event. You wouldn't realize how one thing connects and the reason why Mordechai happened to see Bigsam Viseresh and how Kedek come to know all the different languages and how they thought he didn't understand, but he did understand. And all the whole chain of events, when you follow the Megillah closely, was really an incredible ganze story. It was a big story. At the moment, people might not have realized what was happening at all. But Biroisam Yachad Tcheles Mordechai, when they saw Mordechai go out in Tcheles, Tcheles reminded them, aha, Kisei HaKovid, the perspective of Kisei HaKovid, I see the whole picture. I see the whole story. That's when they realize what's been happening for those 9 years. Sheishanas Yaakov Soholov Isamecha Bir Oisam Yachad Tcheles Mordechai. That's when the miracle became so clear and so obvious that we say Shaosa Nisam Avisenu Bayom Mehem Azman Azeh. It took the Tcheles of Mordechai for them to realize what they had just been witnessing over the last 9 years. Back in the 80s, when Ronald Reagan was president of the United States, if anybody recalls, the United States negotiated a deal with Saudi Arabia to sell them very sophisticated weaponry, something known as AWACS, stood for Airborne Warning and Control Systems. These AWACS was the best thing that was out there then. Menachem Begin was the Israeli prime minister then, and he expressed profound regret and unreserved opposition to this deal because these planes were being touted as being able to track every move the Israeli Air Force made and prevent surprise first strikes. And Saudi Arabia was our arch enemy then. They were going to get 7 of these AWACS. President Reagan didn't care what Begin had to say. And he said, it's not the business of other nations to make American foreign policy. Boy, wouldn't we like to play back a tape of that to today's government. And we were petrified. We thought that our biggest enemies are getting the most sophisticated weaponry. And it went through. They were delivered between 1986 and 1987. Comes 1991, the Persian Gulf War, Operation Desert Storm. Do you know what aircraft was used to keep Iraq at bay, which not so indirectly protected the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael? It was those very AWACS. What did we know? We're looking at the moment the president is selling Israel down the river. What's he doing? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is orchestrating every single move. He sees the ganzkeit. He sees it all. We don't see anything. It's a great lesson to realize that as world history unfolds, we have no idea what we're looking at. And even when something things like it looks like it's a terrible, terrible event, nevertheless, we have to believe Emunah Shlema HaKadosh Baruch Hu is spinning the wheels. We know the Megillah says that when Achashverosh asked, "Mi hu zeh ve'eizeh hu?" Who's the one who wants to destroy the Jewish people? Chazal say, Esther pointed at Achashverosh. And Amalek came and moved her finger to Haman. What's she thinking, Esther? Why is she going to point at Achashverosh? She's going to blow it all. Achashverosh is the one who wants to kill us and destroy us. And I think the reason is very simple. Because Esther saw the whole story. She saw the ganzkeit. She saw this whole miracle unfolding. She understood how one thing led to the next. She didn't look at it as a bunch of random things that have no connection. In Esther's world, it was an open miracle. It was an ace. She saw it all. So Esther probably assumed if it's an open miracle, this is part of the open miracle. I'll point at Achashverosh and say it's all his fault. Comes along a Malach and he takes her finger and says, no, 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 Esther. This miracle is not going to be an open miracle. This miracle is specifically supposed to be done by Hester Punin. It's going to be done under the cover of nature because this was a miracle that was going to keep and sustain Klal Yisrael for the rest of time, where Hashem doesn't do open miracles for us anymore. But we have to read the signs. We have to look at what's really happening. We don't know what we're reading when we see these things. The Esthers of this world understand that. We have to believe Be'emunah Shleima, that even though we don't see it, but this is all of Hashem's big master plan. And that's why Hashem had to move Esther's finger. Because this is the way we're going to survive Golos. By believing Be'emunah Shleima, that even though we can't see how obvious these things are, but just like Hashem is turning the wheels in 1991, and he was turning the wheels in the days of Haman, this is the way that our wheels are turning. And this is the way we're going to be zeicha to tremendous miracles and tremendous yeshuas. We'll just conclude with the words at the end of the Megillah, where the Megillah tells us in the last 3 psukim, Vayosam HaMelech Achashverosh Mas. Achashverosh went and put taxes on all of the different nations that he had control over. It's an interesting thing. The Gemara says in Megillah that there are certain parts of the Megillah that may not matter so much if you read them. There's a machlokes in the Gemara How much do you have to read to be Yotze the Megillah? Yet everybody agrees you have to read the end. Why is the end so important? Who cares that Achashverosh went and put out taxes? Is that important? And Rabbi Shlomo Brevda said it's very important because the Megillah is teaching us a tremendous lesson for us. You think that Achashverosh, after seeing what he saw and realizing what happened over these 9 years, he'd be a little bit different. Maybe he would change his approach to life. Nope, not Achashverosh. He's the same tax and spend king. To him, it made no difference and it made no impression. Mordechai, the Megillah ends off by saying he increased his helping of his fellow brethren. In fact, people are tainus on him that he's getting too involved in other activities. He's not learning enough Torah. But Mordechai elevated his Bein Adam LaChaver again. Achashverosh was exactly the same. And the Megillah wants to leave us with that lesson. After the story of the Megillah, you cannot be the same. You got to take note of all the signs. You got to realize what we're really reading. You got to realize what we're really seeing. And even if we don't see it, and only great people do, but we got to believe Bemuna Shlema, this is how Hashem is going to orchestrate our Yeshuas and our salvations, that Amir Hashem, those things that we're seeing in our times are also going to one day become as clear as from the view of the Kisei HaKavod, that they're all very chashuva bits and pieces of Hashem's Yeshua and salvation for Klal Yisrael. A guten Shabbos and a mitzvah Hashem for next week. A freilich and Purim. We should all be zeichet to see Yeshua Hashem.
Amen. Yeah.